Aw, come on, guys. It's so simple. Maybe you need a refresher course. Ah, it's all Shirley these days.
Okay, Dee, I've got a trivia question for you. There is only one actor to have three movies in the top 20 at the box office for 1985.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
I feel like I'm in church, and the answer is always Jesus. And given that we're here to talk about three movies by Chevy Chase, I feel like that's going to be the right answer, but then I feel like you're going to tell me, and then you're going to say something.
The answer is not Jesus. That's how much I can tell you at this moment.
Okay, Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase, who starred in Fletch, European Vacation, and Spies Like Us, the only actor to have three movies in the top 20 at the box office in 1985. Yep. Now, here is my trivia question to you.
Oh, I thought that was the trivia question.
No.
All right.
So obviously today we're here to talk about those three movies. We're doing a Chevy Chase three-way.
Trifecta.
Three great movies from 1985. Yep. Funny, classics. Chevy Chase really at the top of his game in 1985.
Yep.
Okay. There were two actors who had two movies in the top 20 in 85.
Two actors who had two movies in the top 20. So I'm going to guess Michael J. Fox with Back to the Future and Teen Wolf.
Not in the top 20. Oh. It's a good guess, though.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. We just talked about him.
Anthony Michael Hall.
No. Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, right.
With
Rocky IV and Rambo.
Rambo and Rocky IV. That's exactly right.
Yep.
And the other one is a little bit harder.
Okay. Give me a hint.
He was also in the movie 3 Men and a Baby.
Okay. So Ted Danson hasn't been in any good movies. Tom Selleck, that was the only movie he was in that year. So I feel like we've got to be Steve Guttenberg.
Steve Guttenberg had two movies in the top 20 in 1985. Any guesses?
When did 3 Men and a Baby come out?
87.
Okay. So Police Academy 2.
Yep. And?
Cocoon?
Cocoon. Well done. That is the answer to the trivia question.
Wow.
So
I've just got the Stonecutters theme. We made Steve Guttenberg a star. From the Simpsons thing going through my head. Like, how did he become famous?
Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah.
The Goot was big in 85, but not as big as Cornelius Crane Chase.
Did you know that he was a Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt University?
Well, that the university was named after a
He's a magnet. Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, not really. Oh, by the way, everybody, welcome back to the Shirley You Can't Be Serious podcast. We are here talking about three movies starring Chevy Chase from 1985, which are all phenomenal. We have Fletch, we have Spies Like Us, and we have European Vacation. It's the 1985 Chevy Chase trifecta. You just weren't getting any hotter than Chevy Chase in 1985.
Hot as a firecracker in 1985.
Yes, and so I'm James D. Graves, and you're not. And this is my co-host, Jason Colvin. If it's your first time watching us, welcome aboard. We will be telling you by the end of our second episode, this will be the first episode, end of the second episode, how we rank these three movies. Which is the best and which is the worst?
We're going to rank them 1, 2, 3 at the end of this final judgment. I will tell you this. So I was curious because three movies in 1985, that's working, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at the filming dates. So just so we're kind of on the same page, Fletch was released May 31st, 1985.
Yep.
European Vacation was released in July 26th of 1985.
Yep.
And then Spies Like Us, December 3rd of 1985.
Yep. He filmed Fletch first in early 84. He filmed European Vacation in late 84. And then he filmed Spies Like Us in early 85.
Here's the interesting thing. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
The Fletch shoot was in and around Los Angeles.
Okay.
And they had to move the shooting schedule around the Olympics.
That's right.
To kind of place it for you, the 84 Olympics in LA was such a big deal, they had to move the shooting of Fletch around the Olympics.
Mary Lou Retton?
Mary Lou Retton.
Was Bruce Jenner still around, or was that, after him?
I think that's after him.
And then Carl Lewis?
Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
Edwin Moses. You had Mary Decker, the girl who fell down. I think Zola Budd tripped her up, and she's laying there on the track crying. But great year for Chevy Chase in 1985.
Yeah, you got a gold, a silver, and a bronze on these three movies, I think.
That's right. Speaking of 1985, your favorite movie of all time, Back to the Future, was released in 1985.
Yeah, and of all of these movies, of all of them, I would not have picked this one to do this, but European Vacation knocked it out of the top spot.
Dislodged it from number one.
It had been number one for 3 weeks, and then along came National Lampoon, European Vacation, and as the powerhouse that he is, Chevy Chase dethroned Michael J. Fox for a week, and then Back to the Future came back for another 8 weeks after that.
So, obviously, Back to the Future was the big movie that summer, but that's showing some clout that Chevy Chase can come in.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, number one spot.
Yeah.
For a little while, anyway.
So, have you, I don't know if you remember, like, do you remember seeing these movies for the first
time? Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm 12.
Uh-huh.
And these movies are just naughty enough for me to really want to see them, you know? But, yeah, I think I saw all three of these in the movie theater.
I know I saw European Vacation in the movie theater, and I have not seen it again since then until, like, I just finished it 10 minutes ago.
Right.
I can tell you that having seen Boobies for the first time with National Lampoon Vacation,
yes,
all I was waiting for when I saw that movie was Beverly D'Angelo to show me her boobies again, and then I got a behind-the-back flash from the towel, and I was, like, disappointed for the rest of the movie.
The Hot Shower Wife, or whatever the name of that movie was.
Hot Wife in the Shower.
Wife in the Shower.
Okay, so his biological parents, his dad passed away early on when he was just, I think, maybe 10 years old or something like that.
Okay.
And his mother remarried a descendant of the Vanderbilts and became kind of a socialite for a time. Now, they ended up splitting up as well, but she's still kind of trying to maintain that social class. But he kind of said it was hard life. Like, she was hard on him. But because of their kind of social status, he got to go to some pretty good schools, which means he got to get kicked out of some pretty good schools.
I told you a story this week. I heard him tell a story where, you know, it's one of those deals where he was acting up in class. Yep. Disrupting the class, and the teacher said, "Mr. Chase, I demand that you stand up and apologize to the class for your behavior." And so he stood up and, in young Chevy Chase fashion, was like, "Students, faculty, loved ones, I just want to apologize for my," and he continued to go on in improv.
I'm just wondering if he started talking about the teacher and how she's recovered from syphilis and her face looks so much
better. The nose looks all better now. And he said he kept going until she's like, "Get out." He's like, "Yeah. I did what you told me to."
Yeah, he somehow managed to get into a college, but also got himself expelled from that college. What I heard was that he, this is speculation, but might have snuck a full-grown cow into one of the dorm rooms.
I've heard that. I've heard rumors of that.
Yeah. So, of course, he's got this witty humor, you know. He's obviously a card. He's a guy that I think his mouth gets him a lot of success and also in a lot of trouble.
He's really good at poking fun at people. Mm-hmm. And if you're on the observing end of that, you're like, this is hilarious, right? Yeah. But if you're on the receiving end of that, it's not so funny.
Amy Heckerling said she disliked Chevy Chase so much that she refused to go on set unless she had a ticket to New York in her hand so that she knew if she wanted to leave, she could.
Had to have it at all times.
Yeah.
Because he's such a rear.
Yeah.
Now, we've already talked about this. We've covered Chevy Chase in Vacation,
yep,
which we pitted against The Great Outdoors.
Yep.
Go back. That's a couple of summers ago.
Yeah. Talked about Christmas Vacation versus Scrooged.
Christmas Vacation, he chased off Chris Columbus.
Which is, yeah, I mean, within a couple of days.
And Chris Columbus had to have the job. Like, had to have it and said, I can't work with this guy.
That's got to be pretty bad.
Christmas Vacation and Scrooged, that was fun.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
So he ends up deciding, you know, hey, this thing that I'm good at of being funny, I'm going to go try to make something of myself with it. He ends up doing an improv troupe. He ends up with Belushi and the Lemmings in L.A. And then ultimately, you know, he's got some experience. He even drove a taxi for a little bit, got himself cast in a play because a casting director got in the cab and he heard casting director and immediately was like, let's start doing some impressions, and got himself a bit part in a play. But he just kind of grinded the pavement and took every opportunity to act up that he could. And then he's in line to watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And the other guy that he happens to see in line is Lauren Michaels, that he recognizes and is like, and Lauren's like, hey, you know, how's it going? And they start talking, and Chevy, of course, starts being Chevy and riffing, and Lauren's like, I'm developing this new skit concept. I think you'd be really good as a writer on this. And so he comes in as a writer, but is so charismatic that they're like, we got to get this guy in front of the camera. And of course, he lays the foundation for Saturday Night Live News, which 100%. Is
Weekend Update.
Weekend Update with Chevy Chase.
I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not.
Live from New York, it's Saturday Night.
Got it.
You know, Chevy Chase, to give him credit, he had the rare combination of being really funny and having like leading man type looks.
Yeah. I was watching some of it was the scene in European Vacation where he like rips off the sunglasses, you know, like mom's been kidnapped.
Right.
He's doing the Superman thing of ripping off the sunglasses, moving from Clark Kent into Superman. And I just kind of got this Harrison Ford vibe. Like he could have been Indiana Jones and actually done a great job at it. He's got the size, he's got the looks, he's got the, I mean, I think Harrison Ford's probably more charming and more, you can take him more seriously.
Sure.
But, you know, things went a little different. I could totally see Chevy being an action star.
You know, I totally agree with you. A couple of years ago, I went on the Film By podcast and I discussed the movie Foul Play.
Yeah.
Which
Goldie
Hawn and Chevy Chase. And that movie is, he has some goofy moments. They're capitalizing on his SNL presence.
Right.
But he also has some serious moments. It's a cop drama. I mean, he shoots a guy. I mean, there's some action involved in that. And when you watch that movie, which I've seen that movie 1,000 times, it's similar to like Fletch in that there's some really dramatic moments. And you could see him being a serious actor, but he just never really leaned into that full on, I don't think. He could have been great at it, though, I think.
Chevy being goofy Chevy is the Chevy that I want to see most of the time. I just got to say.
Well, I mean, that's true, though, with Robin Williams. Like, Robin Williams is off the hook. He's hilarious. We all love him. That's true. He's super funny. But then also, we get Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. No, he definitely can do, some serious
stuff. He could pull off both. I just don't know why. He never did.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Was Chevy Chase ever in, like, a genuinely serious movie? Like, not a comedic movie at all? I don't think so.
Uh-uh. I don't think he ever stretches. Like, I think Fletch may be the furthest he ever stretched.
Right.
You know?
Stretched and Fletch. Yeah.
Stretched and Fletch. You know, the end scene with Tim Matheson, mm-hmm. Mr. Stanwyck, and he's like, cut the crap, get down here. And it's tense.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's about it.
Had things played out differently with the way that we compare movies, I can totally see us having compared Beverly Hills Cop
100%.
With Fletch. It's like just such a similar vibe. You've, of course, got two SNL alumni leading the show on both of these things. But let's start there with Fletch. So Fletch was actually a series of books from like the 70s. You said you had some of these books, right?
I've read a couple of these books. It's been a forever ago since I've read them. Gregory MacDonald is the author. Fletch is humorous in those books, but he's also more serious.
Right. So they started developing a script for that book, those stories, in the 70s, and it went through multiple production companies, multiple producers, and I mean, just basically it could never really see the light of day. So from 1974 until about 1982, it just was in development hell.
Right.
And then something happened.
Michael Douglas stepped in. Yes, that Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
He saw the potential for a character, like a reoccurring character.
Yep.
It bounced around from, You know, it was with Columbia, it was with Universal, it was with Fox, it was with Paramount and Warner Brothers. And everybody kind of passed on it.
Yeah.
And then Michael Douglas steps in and says, I think there's something here. You know, and it's one of those where, okay, well, maybe you should star as Fletch. So Michael Douglas was considered for this character.
Right.
I mean, let's talk about the list of names who could have been Fletch.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
All right, so here are the names that I have for you that could have been Fletch. All right, okay. Yeah. Burt Reynolds.
Yes.
Richard Dreyfuss.
No.
George Segal.
Well, maybe. Maybe Richard Dreyfuss. I could see it.
He was actually funny in Stakeout.
Yeah, well.
He was funny in Stakeout.
I have not seen Stakeout. He was funny in What About Bob?
There you go.
I could see him being, I mean, yes, he does some good comedic work.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
George Segal.
The guy from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
I mean, the grandpa in the Goldbergs, right?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Barry Bostwick.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Charles Grodin.
Yeah. I could see that too.
Jeff Bridges.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Jeff Bridges would have been an incredibly good Fletch.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
How about this one?
Yeah.
Mick Jagger.
Somebody was smoking some crack when they came up with that idea. So as I understand it, the author McDonald,
Gregory McDonald. Yeah.
He, because it went through so many options that eventually he was like, I want veto rights on whoever's going to star in this thing. And he was absolutely like, no, you're not casting Mick Jagger.
Right.
As Irwin Fletcher. No, not going to happen.
Come on. and so they offered to Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Who are you again?
I'm Frida's boss.
Who's Frida?
My secretary.
He actually turned it down, which he said, I didn't turn it down. My manager turned it down.
Yeah.
And when it came back to him, I think he got a little more involved, saw it, and was like, yeah, I think maybe. And that's when Gregory McDonald sort of blessed that Chevy Chase as Fletch.
Yeah.
Hey, I think our problems may just be solved. Ed McMahon. I think I just won $1 million. Yeah, Irwin M. Fletcher, you choose. Woo-wee! Oh, boy, I lost again. Sorry.
So Chevy Chase really tuned in and decided he wanted to play it when he found out the guy writing the screenplay was going to be Andrew Bergman.
Oh, okay.
So Andrew Bergman has, before this, wrote Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles.
So, yes. Yeah, I mean, I mean, 1980s, if you're telling me the guy that wrote Blazing Saddles is going to write a movie that I can be a part of and I'm Chevy Chase, yeah, 100% I'm doing that.
Right.
Now, do you know what movie he wrote in the future that we're going to cover later?
What? No, what? Tell me.
Okay. It came up. It keeps coming up. I don't understand why it keeps coming up. It came up whenever we were talking about the Eagles. One of the co-writers of the songs wrote a book. His most famous book was called Striptease. Andrew Bergman wrote the screenplay for Striptease. So you guys tune in. It's not that we love Striptease. We are going to go and we're going to cover Striptease and, God help me, Showgirls, and ask the question, what the heck happened?
We might love Striptease after watching Showgirls.
Yeah. If I'm still alive and haven't slipped my wrist vertically, yes.
All right, so we want to go through the Fletch cast real quick while we're here.
Yeah.
All right, so obviously Chevy Chase, Irwin M. Fletcher, a.k.a. Fletch, a.k.a. John Cocktoasten, Igor Stravinsky, right? Jane Doe.
Don Corleone.
Dr. Rosen. Ted Nugent, Harry S. Truman, Mr. Poon, Comanche Indian.
Oh, it's me, Dr. Rosen Penis. I'm just here to check out Danwick's file. Dr. Rosen, I'm here to get to the records room. It's Dr. Rosen. I want to check Dr. the records room. Dr. Rosen.
So he plays all these characters in the same movie, and Chevy has said this is his favorite movie.
Yeah, right. Felt like he got to be him. The director, Michael Ritchie, said that basically he would do two takes every time. First one, buy the script. Second one, Chevy, do what you
want
to do.
Whatever you want.
Yeah. And Chevy loved that. Like he really just, and you can tell, I mean, you can tell that he's, I think you put it like he's always winking at the camera.
Yeah. He's very self-aware.
Yeah.
You and I were talking a few minutes ago. The thing that makes Chevy so funny in his movies is that he's always smirking. He's very self-aware. We know we're in on the joke.
Right.
And we saw a video this week. Chevy's in his 80s now. Mm-hmm. And
he doesn't seem to be as self-aware. Yeah.
It made me sad. He's like, what are we doing? Where are we going?
Yeah, he actually said, where am I going? Where am I going? Yeah, like, it, yeah.
But they took him to a putt-putt golf course called Caddy Shack.
Yep.
And he went up and he's like, "Hi, I'm Chevy Chase." And the guy was like, "What?"
Yeah, that's so great. That'd be great.
All right, so let's go through the cast of Fletch here real quick. Okay. So Joe Don Baker is playing the police captain.
You're serious?
Ask anybody.
Can I ask anybody now? How about, can I call my mom, tell her how much I love her?
We talked about him in our Jimmy Buffett episode. Actually, not him specifically, but a role that he played.
Walking Tall, yes, where he played Sheriff Pusser.
That's right. Buford Pusser.
That's right.
Joe Don Baker also plays two different characters in the James Bond universe.
Oh, okay.
He plays a good guy in GoldenEye and a bad guy in The Living Daylights. Oh, one of the few people to do that.
That's interesting. Okay.
Okay.
I love the way he handles this character, too, because he's just an absolute slime ball, but he plays him as this kind of smiling, jovial, "We're just going to laugh through all of this until I bust your A." Yeah.
When he's pointing the gun at him in the jail cell, and he's like, "What's it going to be, Mr. Fletcher?" And he's like, "Hey, your beach." He's like, "Come on." He's like, "May I? You know, come on out of there." It's like they're buddies now, you know? All right, Dana Wheeler Nicholson.
She was smoking hot in this movie.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's John.
John who?
It's John. John lived. I don't remember.
John Cocktoasten.
Hi.
Hi.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Oh, I just got out of the shower.
Yeah. Can I borrow your towel for a sec? My car just hit a water buffalo. Nice place you have here.
And her little tennis outfit.
Mm-hmm. Towel.
Her towel.
Borrow your towel. Hit a water buffalo.
She made Chevy laugh during the audition.
That's awesome.
She doesn't even remember what she said.
Uh-huh.
He laughed. That was her in.
Yeah.
And I think everybody was just kind of in love with her. She just cute as she can be.
Not at all like she was in Tombstone.
Yeah, she was in Tombstone. She played Wyatt's opium addicted
wife. Yeah,
that's right.
Just totally. She's. I'm surprised she didn't do more. Honestly.
Yeah. Here's my little tidbit on her.
Okay.
I've got. I'm ready to drop this bomb on you.
All right.
Okay. She is the granddaughter of Malcolm Wheeler Nicholson. Does that name ring a bell to you?
No.
He is the founder of National Allied Publications. Does that mean anything to you?
No.
That later became DC Comics.
Wow.
How about that?
I hate to backtrack, but I forgot to bring up. Did you know that in the move to success, as Chevy was, driving taxi cabs around, he also wrote for Mad Magazine?
I heard that.
Isn't that crazy? I want to go look up and see what kind
Me too.
Of what storyline Chevy Chase came up
with. I used to love Mad Magazine.
All the time.
Read it all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Tim Matheson plays Alan Stanwyck.
Yes.
These will be open.
Wouldn't they normally be locked?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. The staff usually forget.
Oh, yeah. I have the same trouble with my health.
This is a beautiful tie to all of these things because last year we covered Revenge of the Nerds versus Animal House.
We did.
Which is, of course, directed by John Landis.
Yes.
And John Landis didn't want Chevy Chase to be in Animal House, but he was the obvious choice at the time. But you got Belushi in there. He didn't want it to be a Saturday Night Live reunion thing, and he knew that Chevy wanted to be a star, and so he reverse psychology'd him, and he was like, "You're going to love this. You're going to be part of this big ensemble piece. You know, it's going to look like you're a big part of this big group." And he was like, "Yeah, I'm out."
Yeah.
And then, of course, John Landis cast Chevy Chase in one of the movies we're talking about today, in Spies Like Us.
100%.
But who do they have come into the role of Otter for Animal House?
Tim Matheson,
and here they are in Fletch together.
I've got a funny Tim Matheson story for you.
Okay.
First of all, that's great little tie-in right there with John Landis and Animal House and all that stuff. Okay. And we've actually got another tie with Fred the Dwarf Dorfman here in a second. Maybe we should just hit that while we're here.
Well, okay, so in Fletch, he stands up in the middle. They're having, like, it looks like a Rotary Club or something like that, Kiwanis meeting or something.
Right.
Big honorary deal Knights for Fred Columbus Dorfman. And he stands up and does this thank you and, doing a speech. And nobody knows who he is.
Fred the Dwarf Dorfman.
As they're all coming in. And Fred Dorfman apparently is the brother of Flounder Dorfman from Animal
That's
House.
That's right.
Yeah, so I guess it all ties.
What a nice little tie there.
Yeah.
So here's my funny story with Tim Matheson.
Okay.
We have talked in the past about who had the greater 24 hours in the 80s. Is it Lionel Richie?
Lionel Richie, yeah.
Or is it Billy Joel?
Billy Joel, right.
Right. I present to you Tim Matheson, okay?
Okay.
So he was some special birthday, maybe his 30th birthday, okay? And for his 30th birthday, he got a knock on the door. He's a Hollywood actor, knock on the door. One of his next door neighbors, young, hot woman, is like, guess what? Here I am, your birthday present. So she gives herself to him as his birthday present, okay? So she leaves.
All right.
Knock, knock, knock. Another neighbor comes over. Here I am. Happy birthday. Okay. What? Now, he had a girlfriend who was out of town. Keep that in mind. Okay?
Okay.
After she leaves, knock, knock, knock. Here I am. Happy birthday. Okay? Except this third woman, this is Kirstie Alley.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, we're keeping count at home. This is number three.
Yeah. And Kirstie Alley's peak hotness, no doubt.
Yeah.
No less.
He said she was the wild girl from Wichita. Right?
Okay.
And afterwards, they're laying in bed. Huh? Knock, knock, knock. His girlfriend had flown home to say happy birthday. And so Kirstie Alley goes out the side window.
Oh, my gosh.
Girlfriend comes in town. Happy birthday. Here I am.
I hope he was stocking some vitamin E.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my Lord.
So there you go. Tim Matheson, otter, similar.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. All right.
All right. Richard Libertini. He plays Frank. He plays the boss at the newspaper.
Right? Oh, yeah. Love him.
Right?
He's hilarious.
Fat Sam is the story. There's a source behind him.
Who?
Well, there we're in a kind of a gray area.
All right. How gray?
Charcoal.
He's shaking the coffee. Here's my tidbit on him that's going to blow your socks off.
Okay.
Do you know he was married to?
No.
He was married to Melinda Dillon. Does that name ring a bell to you?
It does ring a bell for me, but I can't remember why.
She was one of the girls, one of the ladies in Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's the mom of the little kid who gets pulled away.
Yes.
And she's also the mom in Christmas Story.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was married to this guy, the mom from the Christmas Story.
Interesting.
M. Emmett Walsh was also in this movie. He's Dr. Jellyfinger.
Isn't there a children's book about an elephant named Babar?
I don't know. I don't have any.
No children?
No elephant books.
Right.
Yes. I can't see that guy and not think about him shooting at Steve Martin in The Jerk.
The Jerk?
He hates these cans.
Die, you wrestler.
Gas pumper. He was also in Blade Runner, which we've talked about.
Yeah.
And he was in Raising Arizona.
Yeah.
Not that mother scratcher.
Not that mother scratcher.
Have you ever heard of the Stanton Walsh rule?
Not ringing a bell for me.
Okay. So apparently this is a rule that it's kind of, I don't know, well known around Hollywood, mm-hmm. that if you have Dean Stanton or M. Emmett Walsh in your movie, mm-hmm. it automatically makes your movie good.
I can see that, actually.
They call it the Stanton Walsh rule.
Yeah.
Okay. The exception to that rule, Wild Wild West. I guess M. Emmett Walsh was in Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
So, okay, quickly, you've got George Wendt, who plays Fat Sam.
Norm.
Norm God from Cheers, soul. Right? My he goodness. Just lost
yes.
him.
Yeah, just lost him.
So he plays Fat Sam. Yep. Okay. Gina Davis in an early role from her.
Dude, she was smoking hot back in 1985. Looking good. And a Mensa wow. member.
Mensa
good looking
member.
And smart.
Smart and an Olympic qualifier in archery.
What?
Come on. All that and looks too?
Yeah.
Okay. How about, so here's the one we talked about before. Kenneth Mars. He plays Gail Stanton's dad, the head of Boyd Aviation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You and I were talking about him. Mm-hmm. You recognized him. I did not.
Yeah, he's the commandant in Young Frankenstein.
The guy who's
got the pick. Nice grouping.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he's obviously that main character in Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Here's the one that blew me away.
Okay.
He is the voice of King Triton in The Little Mermaid.
I consider myself a reasonable merman. I set certain rules, and I expect those rules to be obeyed.
But, Daddy...
Is it true you rescued a human from drowning?
Daddy, I had...
Contact between the...
Oh, yeah, I can see that now that you say it. I did not know that.
How
that's
about
a good
that?
One. Yeah,
yes.
That's great.
Okay. You have Larry Flash Jenkins as Gummy. Do you recognize him?
Was he in Total Recall? Am I remembering that right?
No, that's a different guy.
Okay. Then I don't know. No, who is
he? He is one of the car attendants in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes, yes. The, yeah.
The one where the car is cresting. He's like, ah. Yeah. You also have James Avery, who plays Will Smith's dad in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's one of the two goon cops. Yep.
Yep.
You told me the other goon cop was one of the football players in 16 Candles, right?
She's a child, Jake. What do you think of her? I try not to, right?
He's the guy who's doing the pull-ups, and then you pan back, and you realize he's just standing
flat-footed. That's right. And then you also have Allison LaPlaca. We talked about her. She plays the Pan Am clerk.
Stanwyck, you are confirmed on Pan Am Flight 441 to Rio de Janeiro tomorrow evening, 11 p.m., first class.
That's terrific. Thank you.
You reconfirmed this morning.
You bet I did. I'm a bear for detail. I hope there's nobody sitting next to me. You see, I always travel first class, and I take both seats up.
I'm afraid there is someone sitting next to you.
Oh, for God, Don. Who is it, Mr. Sinlinden?
No, the name's Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh. Ah, is that Morris or Pierre?
Sally Ann Kavanaugh.
Sally Ann, well, terrific.
In fact, you purchased the ticket for Miss Kavanaugh.
Doesn't mean I want her sitting next to me, does it?
Oh, right. Yeah, she's the boss. She's Rachel's boss from Friends.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And then finally, you have...
Who dies. Like gets hit crossing the road or something like that. I remember that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You have Chick Hearn, the voice of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes.
And you have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
How about Fletch?
Yeah.
Well, Fletch helps us win. He does all the hard stuff. Look at him shake defenders.
6'5", 6'9", at the afro.
That scene is so funny. Did you know that they had him as a hockey player and as a pitcher, baseball pitcher as well?
Yeah. Yeah. You can see pictures, early posters that shows him as the hockey player with the pitcher scene. Now, this ties into a scene that they left in the movie that didn't really make a whole lot of sense. But in the pitcher scene, in the Dodgers scene, he is playing a pitcher and Tommy Lasorda comes in and takes him out of the game.
Yes.
And then you have this moment where he punches the picture and Chiefs.
I hate Tommy Lasorda.
Hate Tommy Lasorda. That's how that all makes sense.
That's right. Dodgers and the LA Kings. Pre-Wayne Gretzky LA Kings.
Right. All right. So are we ready to talk about next movie, which is European Vacation?
Let's talk about European Vacation.
I want to write. I want to paint. I want to sculpt something massive. I got a creative urge to... Yeah. I wonder if there's a men's room around here, honey.
Okay. So... Obviously, with this one, you have a very easy... This is a sequel to a absolute smash from 1983. Clearly, you got to have Chevy Chase come back. Clearly, you got to have Beverly D'Angelo come back. And then Anthony Michael Hall goes and F-stuffs up by agreeing to do this weird movie called Weird Science.
He does Weird Science instead of this movie.
Yeah. So Dana Barron played Audrey in the first one. She was cast as Audrey in European Vacation, but when they couldn't get Anthony Michael Hall, Amy Heckerling's like, well, we're going to change both the kids then. And that's how you get into this habit of different kids in every single vacation movie.
I think that kind of sucks for Dana Barron.
Sure.
But the girl who steps in and plays her is funny.
She's good.
She's comedic. She does some stuff that's fun.
Yeah, she was. Sad. Yes, sad moment. She passed away at 32. She had struggled with... diabetes her whole life since a little girl. Actually, it's what caused her to have to get out of something. She was involved sports or something like that she was involved in and move into acting, which, she got cast quite a bit as a child actor. And then because of the diabetes, started doing voiceover work later on in her career. But tragically, it got her at age 32. Very young.
Very young.
Yeah. So obviously we the first vacation we talked about, and that was a John Hughes creation from his days writing for National Lampoon magazine.
That's right.
This one is based on the same characters, but he doesn't just get a characters thing. He gets a writing credit on this because a lot of the ideas from those original stories they used in this, even though he said he didn't even know they made the movie until he saw a preview for it on TV.
How crazy is that?
That's ridiculous.
Like, he's like, hey, they're making a sequel to my movie.
Yeah. I mean, how do you not just mention it to John Hughes? I mean, because he's hot at that moment. He's got 16 Candles has come out. He's in the middle of Breakfast Club and about to do
Weird Science. Yeah.
I don't know how that happens, but.
So they took the pieces that, like the leftover pieces from the first movie, mm-hmm. incorporated them into this script, and then they asked, so John Hughes is unavailable, or I guess they didn't even try.
Yeah.
Right? Well, he's busy with Breakfast Club and doing other things.
Let's not bother him.
So this guy named Robert Klane filled in the gaps.
Robert Klane, famous for Weekend at Bernie's. What?
Yes. Which is funny.
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's the interesting thing. Okay, so Harold Ramis directed Vacation.
Okay.
He's busy playing Egon in Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. which, huge movie for 1984.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
So they get Amy Heckerling.
Just coming off Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Johnny Dangerously,
right? That's right.
And you know the honeymoon couple, the Garlands?
Yes.
Mrs. Garland was like the main, like the girl, main girl in Johnny Dangerously, like his wife or whatever, his girlfriend, whatever she is.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Think he's going to pork her, Dad.
Nah. Nah, he's not going to pork her, right? He might pork her, Russ. That's two episodes in a row we talked about.
He's pork. Got his hand on her poop.
All right. So do you remember the connection between Harold Ramis and Amy Heckerling? Get it out. It's in there.
I know it's in there, man. You're going to have to remind me. We haven't got time for me to search through the mental mansion. I know there's something there. But
Harold Ramis.
No, wait, they have a child together.
They have a love child together.
That's right. Yeah, and she's an actress, too.
Yep.
Molly Heckerling. Just looked her up.
Yes.
Born September of 85. That would mean, and that's the eighth month. This movie was shot in late 84. That would mean the hookup between Harold Ramis and Amy Heckerling was going on as he was finishing up Ghostbusters, and she was in the process of about to film or finishing filming European Vacation.
Egon getting some from a fan.
Wow.
How about that? Now, here's the other thing.
Yeah.
So Amy Heckerling took that experience with Harold Ramis, director of Vacation.
Yeah, he directed the first Vacation. She directed the second one.
Yes.
And while she's directing the second one, he impregnates her.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Okay.
Wow.
And from that experience, she goes on and makes another movie called?
The one with Diane Keaton.
No.
Baby Boom?
No, it's not Baby Boom. Oh. Look Who's Talking.
Oh, that's right. Look, with Kirstie Alley. Oh, my gosh, yeah. And she cast her daughter in those two movies. Like, she was in Look Who's Talking and Look Who's Talking, too. Like, she was a baby in one of them and a little girl in the other one.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think that's mind-blowing.
That is crazy.
Okay.
We just kind of came up with that on the spot right here.
All right, let's go through the rest of the cast.
Okay.
So we have Beverly D'Angelo back as Ellen Griswold.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
We talked about her.
Strong memories. Yeah, we talked about her quite a bit when we talked about Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can.
Remember the character she played?
Peaches? What was it? What?
Echo. What?
Yes. And we found out that she had sang backup for the group that became the band after she left the band.
You know, speaking of bands, we didn't even mention the fact that Chevy Chase played drums for what would become Steely Dan.
Yeah, the two founding members of Steely Dan were in a band with Chevy Chase before Steely Dan. I can't remember what the name of the band was, though. That'll be a trivia question for you guys. If you guys know the band name that Chevy Chase was in with the guys from Steely Dan before they were the guys from Steely Dan, you tell us in the comments.
Yacht Rock That yacht rock band
that documentary will come up in any episode we have a chance to bring it up in, I think.
Oh, so good. They did not like being labeled yacht rock.
No, they didn't.
Okay. So in Dana Barron's spot, you have Dana Hill.
Yep.
Who played Audrey.
Yeah.
She was in a TV movie called Fallen Angel. Do you remember that?
No.
I watched that as a kid. I was talking to Kathy. We both have memories of this. It was like a little girl who somehow gets wrapped into like a child pornography ring. It was very disturbing. I haven't seen it in 40 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But she's like somebody's stepdad is trying to get her to shoot nudie pictures. It was very, very disturbing. It was like a TV. It's like an after-school special type of thing.
Gross. Okay.
Okay? The guy who plays Rusty is Jason Lively.
Yes.
Okay? Now, he was in Night of the Creeps.
You did an episode on Night of the Creeps with Jeff Johnson,
Jeff Johnson, the Film Life Podcast, yes.
Go check that one out.
Okay?
Everybody here is a fan of The Night of the Creeps, right?
Yeah,
good
I
news.
Love it.
Good news, your date's here. Bad news, they're dead.
such a fun movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Real me. So Jason Lively, his mom was like involved in casting for movies, which is how he conceivably got his part.
Right.
His sisters are Robin Lively and Blake Lively.
Blake Lively married to Ryan Reynolds.
That's it. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
How about that?
Interesting. Okay.
All right. So at the beginning of the Pig and the Poke, you've got John Astin, who we talked about in The Goonies.
Right. Because he was the alleged father, one of three possibilities with Patty Duke, of Sean Astin.
Yes, that's true. You also have William Zabka playing Jack.
Johnny from Karate Kid, which we covered, versus Last Dragon. Go check that episode out.
Man, we've built quite the library.
Yeah, we have.
I want to talk about Mel Smith. We've moved now to England. Mm-hmm. He is the hotel manager.
Oh, yeah.
You texted me. He's the guy who's speaking English. Nobody can understand him.
Yeah.
I'm Clark W. Griswold. We're from the United States of America. And I believe we have reservations for four.
Oh, no, you're scuppered, mate. It's all one reels of cotton, so your place is full of macaroons. Of course, I'm crooked. I don't want bone to my old mate Jimmy to spit down Whitechapel. What?
Daddy's speaking English.
Yeah, I know.
And you're like, you know who this guy is? And I text you back, the pit of despair.
Pit of despair.
Don't even think about trying to escape.
Yes.
Yep, so he's in The Princess Bride.
Yep. Original hotel clerk. And then while they're in the hotel,
yes,
and she's in the bath, and Clark walks out whistling a tune that the other guy overhears and whistles as he's walking back in, and she thinks she's talking to Clark. That's Robbie Coltrane, who is very famous for playing Hagrid in the Harry Potter series.
That's right.
Among many others, obviously.
Do you remember, we talked about when Robbie Coltrane made his feature film debut, and all he was doing was unloading a suitcase.
Was this in a James Bond movie?
He was in a James Bond. He was in Goldeneye.
Okay.
But that wasn't what I was talking about.
You'll have to give it to me. I can't remember which one.
He was in Flash Gordon at the very beginning.
I literally had that thought go through my head, and I was like, no, that's not it. Ah, dang it.
Little known, no speaking part in that.
Right.
Okay. All right. You also have Eric Idle, who plays the biker.
Well, I think I got the hang of it now.
All you have to do is just stay on the road.
Please let me help you.
Oh, all right. Oh, no problem, Squire. No harm done. Yes, it doesn't hurt much at all.
Let me pay for the damage.
Oh, good heavens, no need for money. No.
Best part of the movie. Like, every time he's in there, I am laughing.
So
and
funny.
Then the throwback, speaking of Monty Python, it all comes full circle. Chevy Chase gets his SNL part. Waiting in line for Monty Python, the Holy Grail. Eric Idle, of course, is one of the main Monty Python guys in
yes.
the Holy Grail. And in the Holy Grail, you have the battle with the Black Knight where he cuts off his leg and he's like, your leg's up. It's a flesh wound.
It is.
And Eric Idle re-says that line, or not re-says it, because it was John Cleese that originally said it, who they considered for that part, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yes, brings it all back. So freaking funny.
That part is hilarious when he's like pointing, he's like, you go down and then just blood just shoots out. She's like, ah! And she's trying to like clean his leg. He's like, oh, it's just a leg. Honestly, I have another one. Super funny. Eric Idle was great. In fact, he and Chevy Chase became friends, mm-hmm. so much so that they thought about making a vacation movie called Swiss Family Griswolds.
I thought it was Vacation Australia.
Well, they had two different ideas, I think. Okay. I think one was on a cruise ship.
Okay. Yeah, the Vacation Australia, all they could come up with was a shark attack idea, and then they gave up.
Still, what we could have had there would have been funny.
Yeah.
All right, the only other notable person that I could find in European Vacation is the girl from California that Rusty meets while in Rome. Mm-hmm. I asked you if you recognize her. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. That's Moon Unit Zappa. That's Frank Zappa's daughter. Song that Valley Girl was written about.
Right.
Beverly D'Angelo was friends with Frank Zappa and his family.
Yeah.
And that's how Moon got that part.
Musical connection, I bet.
There you go.
Yeah.
Remember when we talked about Frank Zappa?
We've talked about him several times, but the biggest story is when Steve Lukather went in to audition for him and got his head cut, basically.
That's it.
Yeah.
He got embarrassed by Frank Zappa.
Yeah. All right. So that does it for European Vacation. We have run out of time for episode one. We will come back to you episode two, where we will talk to you about casting and stories on Spies Like Us. We will talk about a surprising hit song from one of these movies. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but major artist, big hit. You can't think of it? We couldn't either. All right. You'll join us next week when we'll talk about that. And then, of course, final judgment. Who wins the gold, who wins the silver, and who wins the bronze in the Chevy Chase 1985 trifecta?
Bye, guys. Oh, it used
to clash, now goes together. Does the darts and is like... Sorry. Promise this never happens.
Funny.
Did you switch arms on me here? How come I got the weenie arm now?
I did. Sorry.
That's okay. Anyway.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.